What advice do you give in terms of talking to children, regardless of what age?
Well, first of all, I advise them to tell them as much as they can handle, because children are very intuitive. And if you pretend like nothing is going on, they, first of all, know that something is going on. And the other thing is, depending upon what age group they're in, you cannot control what other people say to them. And so they may think it's far worse than it actually is, and worry by themselves and be very anxious by themselves, but won't say anything to the parents because they know that they're worried. So it can be a really horrendous situation for a child. And I think being upfront with them, you don't have to tell them all the gory details, but is really the best way to handle it. And you can start when they're 3 years old, really. You know, mommy's having surgery. There are books. There are wonderful books, like My Mommy Has Cancer and things like that. And I had a patient who, I think her children were 7 and 4 when she was diagnosed, and she was a young woman, obviously. And she said the way she explained it when she was losing her hair is that's really telling us that the chemotherapy is working. And the kids could accept that. So, you know, you get a lot of insights from patients themselves, too.
What do you say to patients in terms of coping with fear?
Well, I think having seen a psychotherapist is very helpful because they are in a crisis mode. And whenever you're in a crisis mode, you need help from other people. I think seeing a psychotherapist can really help, number one, talk about it so that alleviates your fears. Because perhaps, like when I was diagnosed, I didn't really share my fears that much, and because you don't want to upset other people, and I'm sure I'm not alone. I'm sure many women feel that way. But if you have a psychotherapist to talk to or a counselor to talk to, I think that in itself, just verbalizing your fears makes them less fearful.
What can clinicians themselves, nurses, physicians do to help people with fear?
Well, I think one basic question is when you see them, just to say, how are you doing? You know, because you tick off the little side effect, but many times their emotional health is not really addressed. And I found that when I say to people, especially people that are newly diagnosed on the phone, they'll just start crying because nobody's ever really asked them, you know, how are you doing? Because they'll say, okay, I was diagnosed and now this is what I've done. It's, you know, like they have their jobs to do. And that occupies their emotional time, but when you step back, then they start verbalizing that they are frightened.
And what do you say to comfort them?
First of all, I'll say that you're in the worst phase right now because you don't know what's going on. You've just been diagnosed with cancer. Many people don't even know what kind of cancer they have when I talk to them. So this is the worst phase. I said, once we know more and you have more information about your treatment and there's a plan, then you will feel so much better. The fear won't be totally gone away, but once you start acting on the plan, then you do feel so much better.
What do you see happening within marriages and relationships?
I think that the good ones get better, and the ones that are not so good either stay that way or get worse. And a lot of it has to do with how much communication there is between the spouses, and I think basically the communication issue. And a spouse being able to hear that their wife is frightened. Because often the women are taking care of everything and in charge. And to hear somebody who's frightened that not only are they frightened, but they're frightened they're going to die is pretty overwhelming for a lot of spouses.
Where does spirituality and religion fit in?
I think it's a real personal thing. I think for many people it's a big comfort. They're being able to pray and feel closer to God. But I don't think it's necessary. And you can be spiritual and not have a belief as well. You can just. So I think it's how comforted you are by those feelings and those thoughts is really the benefit.
Do you think it's appropriate for oncology professionals to ask patients about that, spirituality and religion?
Sure. Obviously, it's inappropriate to proselytize, but certainly I think that gives you a sense of where that person is, too, and what they think is important and what they believe.
I guess it's maybe also trying to probe around for what support systems they might have.
Right, right. I mean, you ask people, you know, Jehovah Witness, you know what they are going to do and what they're not going to do. And so that's totally appropriate. So I think it's very appropriate to ask oncology patients and how they cope. Everyone has different styles of coping, too.
What are some of the styles that you've observed, and which ones seem to work better?
Well, I don't know if you can say that one works better than the other, but I think that people who are open about what's going on with them seem to cope better. And people who are open with what's going on with them are also open to taking help from other people. People who isolate themselves because they don't want people to know or they don't want people to know their business really do themselves a disservice, because then that window or that opportunity for other people to offer any help is closed.
Where does anger fit in? How does that play out in terms of what you've observed?
Now, I don't see anger in the beginning. I see anger later with recurrent cancer. I think there are some people who probably are angry, but they're just shocked because they are under the assumption that, okay, I've done everything I was supposed to do. Why did this happen to me? It's more shock and disbelief than anger. And when you talk to them and counsel them, that 75 to 80% of the people who are diagnosed are just like you. We don't know why. I mean, people do the right things, and unfortunately, they still get cancer.
Any insights you have in terms of oncology nurses and what they do that's helpful and what they do that could be better?
Wow, that's a big question. One of the things that I think has been diminished is the oncology nurse's ability to listen. They've become more busy. I look in our treatment room where when I first came on board, we had essentially primary nursing. And now, because we have so many docs and not as many nurses as we should have, primary nursing is not really followed that closely. And while somebody is doing their teaching and probably doing it well, they're still thinking, okay, now I'm listening for that other pump to go off. And I think that their inability to listen based on the stresses of their job is the major thing that can impact on their communication with patients.